You can't say that.
God damn it.
He's never going to text us. All right. In 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to Ryan Reviews the Universe, bringing you the best takes for the best times for you, the best people. I'm your host, Ryan Mason Cup, and with me, almost as always, Noah. How are you doing, buddy?
What's up, Ryan? How are we doing today?
Well, I mean, I had a good lunch with a buddy of mine, so that was pretty sick.
We did. We ate at a restaurant called Barrage.
Over in Speedway.
Pretty close to the track where the Indy 500 happens.
Possibly the only other reason to go to Speedway.
Yeah. Semi-newish restaurant. I think it got started by two ex-chefs of Milktooth. Milktooth's ex-head chef and their ex-head pastry chef.
That sounds right.
So they're half market, half cafe.
Yeah.
Pretty good restaurant. Vibe was 5 out of 5 vibe. Mm-hmm. Perfect vibe. Food was pretty good. Ryan and I got the same thing, and we split a piece of carrot cake.
It was like a almost Cajun flavored biscuits and gravy this time. I really
their dish said it had a rotating gravy flavor, and Ryan asked our waiter what the gravy was, and I think he said it was bacon and poblano pepper.
That sounds right.
And we were both went, ooh.
The little rat rubbing their hands together was like, yeah, tell me more. But it was a good time, yeah. Barrage, if you're ever in Indy, check it out.
It's kind of on the vibe of like a Cafe Patachou.
What Cafe Patachou used to be 10 years ago.
I never had it 10 years ago, but yeah, that seems accurate.
It was pretty fire.
A little higher upscale of a brunchish spot.
Yeah, but it kind of meets you there. Like, it meets in the middle. It had this really...
you could ball out there if you wanted to. But you could also get an affordable, just like two egg sausage toast for like $12, I think it was.
Or a brekkie sando for $9. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Would recommend.
We recommend. That's what we're doing right now. We're here to talk about soccer, though. Oh, yeesh. So, I'm pulling up my predictions from the beginning of the year, where it was you, me, and Jacob, our travel slash also soccer correspondent, now New York native at this point, so miss you, Jacob. But if the season ended right now, we would be rather off on a lot of things. I'm going to start addressing the elephant in the room. I had City at 2. Both Jacob and Noah had City at 1. Currently, Man City is where, Noah?
They are in 4th right now. 12 wins, 5 draws, 6 losses, a plus 17 goal differential, which puts them at 41 points compared to Liverpool, who has played one less game, and they're at 53 points. They're 23 games played so far.
Which doesn't sound that bad until you realize that for a lot of the season, until they kind of hit a recent good run of form, they were wallowing in 8th, 9th place. Another big standout is the rise of Nottingham Forest, who are currently in 3rd. Nottingham Forest, I want to say, let's see. I had them at 15th. Noah had them at 18th. Jacob had them at 18th. And I want to say both of you made fun of me for thinking that they would escape relegation. I was like, no, they'll be middle of the pack. And even that was very, very wrong.
Yeah.
The Chris Wood Renaissance, I want to say I did predict a bit of that because he was in my starting 11 for fantasy FPL this year.
Captain him week 1.
I did accidentally captain him week 1, which was a mistake. I meant to captain Haaland. But he delivered. I want to say he got a goal and assist that match week.
Yeah, I mean, they are the surprise of the season. Honestly, I didn't really believe in Nuno's ability as a coach, but he has the boys playing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to City real quick, I mean, this is the worst run we've seen City in maybe the last seven, eight years-ish,
definitely
probably.
Definitely since Pep became coach. There was a point in time where they had lost 5, 6 in a row or something like that in all competitions.
They there was a stretch earlier this season where they won one game out of like 11. Yeah. They went like 1-10 in 11 straight games.
And it was wonderful, I have to say.
We do have to mention that Rodri got hurt at the beginning of the season and tore his ACL.
On that same point, I almost want to say I told you so to everyone who is like, oh, he definitely shouldn't have won Ballon d'Or over Vinny. It was like, if anything, this kind of proves it.
This proves that he was City's everything.
Yeah, he was the anchor.
He
was the anchor, the steering wheel, like everything. People don't appreciate good CDMs. That's what he is. Like, he's a very, very good player.
It's also hard to just, if you're not watching, you know, game in and game out, it's hard to see a CDM's impact just through box score looking.
Or through the 15-minute highlights that you might
see. I mean, Rodri would do everything for that City team. And, you know, I'm going to assume that they probably can't win the Prem this year. Like, you can't count them out, but I'm going to say that they aren't going to. But we did
knock on wood really quick just to...
But we did kind of see them reload in this winter transfer window. They're bringing a guy named Abdoulkadir Kuzunov from RC Lens for 41 mil. They bring in Vitor Rice from Palmeiras for 36 mil. And then probably their biggest signing of the season, of the window, they brought in Omar Marmoush, Egyptian that played for Frankfurt for 77 mil. He's already played a game for them, and he honestly did look pretty good for them.
Pretty solid. The Uzbekistani guy did not look that great, but also...
Yeah, he gave up a goal in the first 5 minutes of that Chelsea game. Yeah. Basically gave up a goal, just misjudged a header. But honestly, I think he kind of played decently well after, and he doesn't even speak English. They were asking Pep, like, if he even thought about taking him off after that first blunder, and he's like, even if I had wanted to, I couldn't have told him, because he only speaks Russian and Dagestanian. I don't know what language that is. That might also just be Russian, but he doesn't speak English yet. So I'm assuming that's also making this hard. But yeah, City. How do you think City fans are reacting to this? Obviously, they're not like Pep out or anything, but
some of them are freaking out. Some of them don't really care because they know that they can just reload and be completely fine next year.
And they recognize how just important Rodri is to that team.
Yeah. But I want to say the more unreasonable, loathsome City fans, and there are a lot of them, are completely up in arms, not saying Pep out, but it's like, oh, we should reinvest $300 million in this squad, which is sickening because it's also possible for them.
I think they've already spent $151 so far.
Yeah.
In a casual winter transfer window.
Yeah, just a casual winter. How the heck is PP... Okay, $115. You know, I don't want to talk anymore about these scrubs.
Yeah.
Even though they're not scrubs, but Haaland is, after not scoring a goal during that like 10-week game period, is pretty much coming back into form. I'm probably trying to bring him back into my fantasy team pretty soon. Let's go back to Nottingham Forest. Chris Wood Renaissance, the best Kiwi of all time. I didn't see it coming. Again, I had him on my fantasy team, but I didn't expect this output. He's going to have his best season at the age of, what, 33, 34? Hey, good on you, bud.
Seeing where they're at right now in third, Ryan,
yeah,
with 16 games left to play, where do you see them finishing?
I see them getting a European spot, but I don't necessarily see them getting Champions League. I see them in a Europa League / Conference League spot. I don't know how maintainable this is, is that a word? This reminds me a lot of that really, really good Wolves team that grabbed Europe with Nuno however many years back. They were a very, very fun team, but they were grinding out 1-0 wins, and then they would suddenly have terrible losses, kind of like this week where they lost 5-0 to Bournemouth, which is another team I'm sure we're going to talk to in a little bit.
Yeah, I think that was like Wolves' second season. Mm-hmm. After coming back up, and they were just full 11 Portuguese, and
yep,
they were playing. They played so physical, mm-hmm, and just like no one in the Prem had really adapted to how they had played yet. And this Nottingham team plays very physical. They press very effectively. They play fast. It'll just be interesting to see, you know, if you can sustain this, if you can take this, getting a Europa, getting a Conference League, and, you know, keep doing it.
The club up front is Liverpool. With the game in hand, they are currently 6 points clear of second place, Arsenal. I had them in fourth. You had them in third. Jacob had them in second. Arne Slot is not above fraud. Yeah. Also, Mo Salah is having one of the best seasons of his career.
32 goals and assists so far through 22 games played for Mo Salah.
That's
in the
a yikes for me, dog.
They're playing so well. Honestly, like,
their Mo defense Salah, isn't as good as it has been in previous years.
It is not. Andy Robertson, you can tell, has kind of lost a step. Konate's missed a couple games like he always does every season.
And Trent seems to have a mistake in him every once in a while.
Trent's mind is, in my opinion, already looking forward to next year with Real, which is the biggest question with this Liverpool team, Ryan.
Yeah, I thought it was going to happen this winter transfer window, but, I mean, this is the 31st of January. I want to say the transfer window closes on the 2nd?
Closes Sunday night, Monday.
Sunday
like
night,
that.
Okay.
So, yeah, the 2nd.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is... Liverpool is probably going to win this season, I would say.
Okay.
But their biggest question is Mo Salah, Trent, Van Dijk, all out of contract at the end of the season. None of them have been renewed yet. In my mind, Trent's probably gone. But in my mind, he is also the most replaceable out of the three. You know, a potential replacement for Trent. They have Connor Bradley, who I think they're fine with playing. He's honestly a pretty serviceable right back. I could see them going after a guy like Jeremy Frimpong from... Bayern Leverkusen.
That sounds
right. Where Xabi's coaching. But you got to re-sign Mo Salah and Van Dijk. Like,
Frimpong is on Bayern.
You have to re-sign Mo Salah and Van Dijk.
And it looks like they might not splurge on them, in which case it's likely that he's going to go to the Saudi League, which would be a massive loss. I'm sure he will receive untold wealth.
Biggest offer they'll ever put out.
Yeah.
It would suck. Would it suck even more to see him go to another team and he stays in Europe if you're a Liverpool fan?
Yes. Yes.
I think that would sting even more.
If he went to a
Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich. Man, a Mo Salah Harry Kane link up. that would be something else.
I mean, I could justify maybe you don't want to re-sign Salah to the wages that he wants at his age if he wasn't outputting at the rate that he is scoring and assisting.
It's justified at this point in time. It's completely justified. And you look at other similar players, not similar, but like his current age isn't that old for soccer anymore. People like Ronaldo, although as much as I deride him, he has proven that you can output at an absurdly old age.
Mm-hmm.
Mo Salah can still do a shift. I don't think that you should let him go.
He's only 32. Realistically, he probably has 3-4 more good years left.
Sign him for a 4-year contract then. Yeah. I would sign him for a 5-year contract.
I'm not letting... That's fine. Mo Salah needs to retire a Liverpool player. He should never play another game for another team in a different uniform. Unless he wants to go to Saudi. Which, at that point, you're not going to be able to match what Saudi's going to give him.
They're going to be kind of stupid like they were with... Actually, well, no. It was more Jordan Henderson being stupid than Liverpool. Any other things about Liverpool right now?
No, I mean, they're just a really good team.
Cody Gakpo is actually looking pretty decent. I was kind of deriding him for a little bit as a Dutch fan. At the beginning, but he's sliding in really nicely as well.
And Arne Slot's a top manager already.
Arne Slot's already a top manager. It's kind of disgusting how they just went from banger to banger, but I hate them because I ain't them.
I think we have to address the Tottenham Hotspurs and where they are at in the current table, right?
Is that... who we want to talk about next? There are a bunch of other fun... Yeah, let's make
fun. I think they're
of
the next biggest storyline out of the Prem so far.
Let's make fun of Tottenham really quick. I want to say I was the biggest Ange guy. Like, I was super, super high on Tottenham this year. I had Tottenham in third. You had them in fifth. Jacob had them in sixth. Where is Tottenham right now? Oh, yeah, that's right. They're in 15th, only 8 points away from relegation? Yikes.
Oh, they are a dumpster fire. And if there are any Tottenham fans listening, we do have to acknowledge that they have been injured to shit.
Yes.
They haven't had their first choice two center backs, Romero and Mickey van de Ven, in so long. Even their starting goalkeeper, Vicario, gets hurt. They have not got to play their full strength preferred starting 11 in months. But honestly, that's no excuse, Ryan. With the talent that team still has, they should not be 15th in the table. Think about the season that Man United has had, Ryan.
Yeah.
And they are 5 points ahead of Tottenham in the table right now.
It's so funny because you hear so much more about, in the media, a lot of people deriding Man U, and we'll get to them in a minute.
we'll get to you, Man.
Yeah, we'll get to you, Man United. Don't you worry. Man, I wish Jacob was here. Ange out. I've seen the light. He's obviously not the right man for the job. Also, maybe I don't think there is a right man for the
job.
Is he not?
I think Ange is the right man for the job.
Yeah, it's probably just the club. You look at the past three managers.
It's Daniel Levy. Daniel Levy is holding that club back.
That's a good point. You look at the past three managers who have managed Tottenham. Conte, Nuno, and Mourinho. Mourinho, I want to say second in the Turkish League. Nuno is top four in the Premier League with Nottingham Forest. Conte, currently leading Serie A. It's kind of like when all of your exes, like,
get more handsome, attractive exes, and you're just looking on Instagram.
Like, huh, maybe I'm the problem here.
And one of my favorite things, Ryan, is, you know, Leicester played Tottenham last week, beat them 2-1. And the amount of joy I had typing in r/coys on Reddit.
You did not.
I do it every time they lose. And
how are you not banned there?
Just reading what their fans post on the subreddit is just so beautiful. And
not only that, before they lost to Leicester, they lost to Everton. So they lost to two teams below them in the table, giving away 3 points. Just, they're Robin Hood. Actually, no, they're not even Robin Hood because they don't even steal from the rich. They just give away everything.
They haven't won a game in the league since December 15th.
That's disgusting.
Unfortunately, I think Ange is probably gone, depending on where they finish, unless they have a miraculous second half season run.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate for them because Ange will get snatched up relatively quickly by a decent amount of clubs I think would want him. Honestly, Daniel Levy's holding that club back. I don't know if you know, Ryan, but they were trying to get Matthijs Tel for 60 mil from Bayern.
Levy went to Bayern, met him in Germany, and Tel told him, no, I will not play for your club.
To his face, he told him he did not want to play for Tottenham.
So yikes for me, dog.
It would have been Bayern's biggest sale ever of 60 mil, which is kind of crazy in itself that Bayern's never sold a player for more than 60 mil. They're just always buyers.
Yeah.
If you're a Tottenham fan, you are so down bad.
Should we start talking about the other elephant, Man U?
Yeah. I mean, they're a dark, dark comedy.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah. It's not super great to be a Man U fan right now. You at least have the solace in knowing that Amad Diallo is Mr. Golazo.
He is him. And Man United start the season, Ryan, with Erik ten Hag as their manager. They fire him. They pick up Ruben Amorim, who was the coach at Sporting. Mm-hmm. He's now the manager at Man United. And they still haven't really looked good under him. Outside of a few Amad Diallo masterclasses, they still haven't really played well.
They barely beat Southampton, who we'll get to in a minute. Thank you, Jacob.
But they're playing in his formation, which does not... It's not... His formation right now isn't really suitable for what Man United has.
Yeah. I mean, back threes, like, they're so tricky. And trying to get your team... to be fair, he hasn't had the practices to kind of get his players into that system.
Dalot and
so many games.
Diego Dalot and Mazraoui are maybe two of the saddest wingbacks I've ever watched before. Neither of them are fit to actually be wingbacks, and it's really just, it's kind of dreadful. And Man United,
you also have to bring up the point that Marcus Rashford has not been in the squad for the better half of the season because apparently he has work ethics issues.
He's very, very poor in training.
Yeah.
And honestly, Rashford should have left this club like 2 seasons ago, really.
He should have been a Galactico 2 seasons ago.
And, you know, he kind of goes back to the old regime of Man United where things kind of started falling apart, where you're giving big contracts to guys like Rashford, Lingard,
to be fair, he was
Pogba. And he did deserve it at that time.
He did deserve it at that point in time.
But, you know, it's hard to maybe be motivated to play for a bad soccer team when you're making 500K a week.
Yeah.
Might be hard to find your motivation there. He maybe never plays for this Man United team again. And I'm excited at seeing the prospect of Rashford on a different team.
Somewhere else in Europe. He's going to go to, hopefully, he goes to Italy. I could see him being next Tammy Abraham, just being rehabilitated over there.
He's going to end up on Aston Villa.
Really?
That's my prediction.
Huh. That would be kind of fun.
We can just talk about Villa.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Villa in the last week, they're having a relatively decent season, I would say.
Unai Emery. Yeah, no, they're having a good season. Let's pull up where everyone had them. Currently, they're in eighth, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, they're in eighth. Jacob had them in seventh. You had them in ninth. I had them at ninth. All around the same. We all expected them to have like a little bit of a drop-off, but still be pretty good because they're playing Champions League games that they didn't play last year.
In the first year of the new Champions League format.
To be fair, they got top eight in that new format.
And they look good in the Champions
League.
They
look really, really good in the Champions League. So I think that this is a success.
Yeah, I mean, just taking on a whole nother competition worth of games.
It's also Unai Emery in Europe, which is, I mean, unfortunately, he can't fall down to his favorite Europa League, but he is doing absolutely stellar in the Champions League.
Uh-huh. And they didn't have time to replace Douglas Luiz, really. So all in all, I consider this season a pretty big success for Villa so far. In the last week, Ryan, they received 2 bids for both of their strikers, Ollie Watkins and John Duran. They receive a 74 mil bid from Arsenal for Ollie Watkins. They immediately reject it, which I like. It's big club mentality. You're not selling Ollie Watkins to another team that in theory you're going to be competing with for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. I like that a lot. That's a lot of money for Ollie Watkins.
Hey, they're a big club.
But if you have big club mentality, you're keeping a player like Ollie Watkins.
They've won European things. I don't think Arsenal have.
Then...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Al Nassr comes with a bid of 75 mil for 21-year-old John Duran.
See, I feel like that's still low for John Duran, despite his reported behavior issues in the squad. Because
he has been their super, super sub this season.
There will be a bunch of like Streets Remember memes about John Duran at Aston Villa 10 years from now. Because there was a stretch of like 5 or 6 games where Villa was down 1 or they were drawing. And John Duran gets subbed in at the 70th minute, at the 80th minute. And then he scores a goal at the 80th minute, in the 90th minute. And it was just... It was poetry. It was scenes. It was wonderful.
He probably has one of the goal of the year candidates for that one goal against Bayern.
Yeah.
So they get a bid from Al Nassr for 75 mil for John Duran, and they accept it.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the first time that Aston Villa has flipped a guy. They sold Moussa Diaby after having him for 1 season. They bought him for 50, sold him to 56 to another Saudi league club.
How much of this do you think is PSR?
I think the Moussa Diaby move was strictly PSR. I think the John Duran one in a team where you need a center back and a midfielder and another attacker, I think this is just a good financial move, TBH, to cash in on a guy who probably would have left when the first in the summer when the first big club came calling.
And this, they did give him a massive contract to, what, 2030 earlier in the season, which was probably smart at the time as well, because you're locking him down, you're making sure that whatever you flip him for is a lot, because no team can really wait until like 2027, whatever. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, where was I going with this? Their scouting department has proven itself to be one of the best in the Premier League. So if they're like, oh, we can find people in these unique markets, be it the MLS, be it certain places in South America.
John Duran came from the Chicago Fire, I believe.
Yeah. More power to them. Big club energy.
It is a tad bit sad to see, you know, a guy like John Duran, who's rounding probably into his prime at 21, go to the Saudi Pro League.
I don't think he's anywhere close to his prime.
But, you know, it's not a shut door, because in reality, John Duran, who comes from a, you know, he comes from a gold mining town in Colombia. He secures generational wealth for him, his family, and for many of his generations to come. And who knows, by the time he's 23, 24, he's back in Europe playing soccer.
We'll see.
Purely for the love of the game, hopefully.
Yep, we will see. Let's talk about Newcastle next. What do we think about Eddie Howe?
I would say he's done a fine job. Newcastle's in fifth. They've won 12 games, drawn 5, lost 6, plus 14 goal differential.
For background, I had them at 8th. You had them at 4th. Nice. Jacob had them at 5th. Okay, so I was kind of low on them. Eddie Howe.
Eddie Howe's a good manager. Is he the right manager for this Newcastle right now at this point in time? I would probably say so. It's not like he's going to get fired or anything like that. I think Newcastle's fine with just being in the spot they're at now, which is continually competing for European spots, which any fan would take any day of the week.
Also, not only that, but they've come close over the past couple of years to winning certain cup competitions. And at this point, Newcastle fans are starved for...
They're in a final against Tottenham to win the Carabao Cup. They have a chance to, you know, go on.
The loser's final.
Yeah. Alexander Isak.
Bucket.
Absolute baller. 17 goals on the season so
Best
far.
Best Swedish player since Zlatan.
He's a beast. They're going to have to fend off so many clubs for him this summer, especially Arsenal.
And I don't think that they say yes to any of them either. I think they're also going to do a big club energy.
He's probably worth triple digits
yes.
for them to say yes to a bid.
He's, at my estimation, worth at least 120 mil. I think they let him go at 120.
I probably agree. I think they would definitely think about selling him for 100, 105, which is a lot of money to reinvest back into your squad. But honestly, I want to see him stay at Newcastle.
So do
I. Big club mentality. Don't fucking sell him to Arsenal.
Sandro Tonali, after getting in trouble for, I want to say, gambling issues earlier last season, has been very, very good. Anthony Gordon, despite the fact that I guess I did not know ball. I did not think that this guy was any good when he was over at Everton. Eat my words, he's on my fantasy team right now.
Jacob Murphy... Anthony Gordon and Isak for like a staple on a lot of people FPL's team.
Yeah.
I know they were for you.
All three of them are on my fantasy team right now.
Bruno Guimarães having a great season. Lewis Hall, the guy they signed from Chelsea at left back, having a great season. Joe Linton has as many player of the matches this season as Alexander Isak.
Yep.
They're just a cool team. Honestly, I like Newcastle a lot.
Which is hard because they're also owned by the KSR. Sports washing works, people. Sports washing works. What can we say? You heard it here first on RTU. Bournemouth. Another surprise. you see one of their best players be brought into Tottenham, and you think that it must be all over for them. For backgrounds, I had them at 12th. You had Bournemouth at 14th. Jacob had Bournemouth at 14th as well. Bournemouth are currently sitting pretty in 7th place with that recent 5-0 win over 3rd place Nottingham Forest. They look to be a really, really good squad. Kluivert seems to be the man. He looks like Molina.
Kluivert has 2 hat tricks this season already.
What's the name of their coach who looks like Albert Molina? Like
Andoni Iriola.
That's right. Yeah, he looks like Albert Molina from Spider-Man.
Yes. And he is Doc Ock. Their manager is very good. He honestly, I think, has that squad playing so far above where maybe its perceived talent level actually is.
Who's that young defender? Huesen?
Dean Huesen. They bought him for 16 mil from Juve. And
what a steal.
Juve already won him back. Juve already won him back.
What an absolute steal.
He's a 17-year-old just bawling out in the Prem right now.
And he's a nailed-on starter at this point in time at 17 years old.
Honestly, Bournemouth are a cool-ass team, too. Like, I just like seeing smaller clubs.
This has been my favorite year of the Prem since when Watford made it to the FA Cup final.
Yeah. The Prem's low-key bad, though.
Yeah, but that's what makes it good this year.
That's true.
It's not bad.
The Prem is bad.
There's parity. No, it's not bad because you have teams like Aston Villa making it fine, like doing fine in the Champions League. All of our teams are doing great in the Champions League. City kind of kept it close. They almost got knocked out. But, I mean, playing Celtic...
Real Madrid round one now.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Probably a lot of people's finals happening in round one of the knockouts.
That's crazy. We'll get to that in a moment.
If we're going to talk about Bournemouth, we might as well pivot to Fulham, who are also having a fantastic season.
I feel like the lead-in for both of those is the USA boys. Tyler Adams and Anthony Robinson, both players from the U.S., both having their best seasons ever. Congrats to the lads. Great job, boys. Now to Anthony.
Anthony Robinson's been bawling out.
These Jedi.
I slandered this man before the season started, just saying he was playing cross-country. But he's probably been Fulham's best player over the entire course of this season.
Yeah.
He is awesome.
Absolutely.
Fulham currently sit in the table at 10th. They've won eight games, drawn 9, lost 6. Ryan had Fulham finishing 13th. I had Fulham finishing 17th, and Jacob had Fulham finishing 15th. So they are very much striking above where they probably should be right now.
They're knocking on the doors for Europe. I don't think they'll get there this year. I think that, unfortunately, they don't have the pull that, say, Villa or... Newcastle do. So if someone comes calling for some of their great people, they might have to say yes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, they still have the Joao Paulinho money in the bank. Like, they lost Joao Paulinho in the summer, didn't really get to replace him in time. And hopefully this is just a stepping stone for Fulham. Hopefully, you know, they can keep repeating, you know, higher half table finishes.
Yeah. Okay, who else? I feel like those are the teams that really... Unless you wanted to say something about Leicester. Really,
we got to cover the relegation battle.
Yeah.
So currently sitting in 20th at 1 game won, 3 games drawn, 19 games lost, minus 37 goal differential.
Adam Armstrong is just a fun little guy, right?
Is Southampton with 6 points through 23 games played.
So the worst team ever previously was Derby County. I forget when, but they had 11 points on the year. And currently, Southampton is on track to have a season worse than that.
They are god-awful.
Yeah.
Their play style just does not work in the Prem. It'll work in the Championship.
I had them at 20th. You had them at 19th. Jacob had them at 13th.
sitting at 19th with 16 points is Ipswich. who...
Liam DeBlap is cool.
Yeah. He's probably a Premier League baller.
Who is their defender who's also pretty seat?
Jacob Greaves from Hull City. He's pretty good. He's missed a decent amount of games this season. They just signed Julio Enciso from Brighton on loan for the end of the season. Honestly...
I had them at 17th. You had them at 20th. Jacob had them at 20th. I could see them at 18th right now. I could also still see them at 17th at the moment.
If I was taking all bias out of this, I would say Ipswich is the team that survives.
Yeah.
But honestly, they'll be fine if they go down to the championship because they have the championship all-stars, basically.
Yep.
And they will absolutely wreck that league.
But, I mean, also some of those boys might get sold.
True. Sitting at 18th, also with 16 points, are the Wolverhampton Wolves. Bad season for Wolves.
Yeah.
Bad season.
Jacob had them at 11th. You had them at 16th. I had them at 16th.
You know, I want to say I called this exactly.
We both did.
We talked about how hard Wolves opening, you know, first like 8 to 10 weeks were and how Gary O'Neill would probably be the first prime manager fired.
Was he?
Eric
Ten Hag got fired first.
Yes. Right? Gary O'Neill got fired, though, because Wolves had a fucking awful stretch in their first 10 games where they had a lot of hard games.
Yeah.
Vitor Pereira is their new coach. He was at Al-Shabaab before this and previously at Flamengo before that. Their squad is just lacking talent. Obviously, Matheus Cunha.
I think it's Flamengo, just so we don't piss off the Brazilian fans of the pod, you know?
Oh, God, they're going to come after me. Matheus Cunha, about the only... Him and Altinori are probably only the two highlights of his team. They're really trying to get Cunha to sign a new contract right now, and he hasn't signed it yet because he really wants to go to Arsenal. But Wolves are playing with fire there because... If you sell Cunha for probably 60-something mil, that's good money, but you're probably getting relegated for a guy who's your top goal scorer so far this season.
Yes.
So they have a very big decision to make with that. But if he's not going to sign a new contract, you have to sell him. So they could be signing their own fate there.
They will find out pretty soon.
Sitting at 17th are my boys, Leicester, with 17 points. 1 point safe from the relegation zone. Get a gigantic win at Tottenham last week. Honestly, we start the season with Steve Cooper. He is an absolute walking bag of milk. We hired Ruud van Nistelrooy from Man United, who has now scored more points with Leicester than Man U has scored since he left Man U, and we played one less game than them. he's a okay manager. He's a very player manager to where he very much challenges the players, and that just kind of... You know, at a club like PSV, I think that could work. At a club like Man U, you know, I think the players needed that at the time. I don't know how that works in the long term with a team of, say, older-ish players. With a team of young players, I could see that working. But he's for sure already, like...
I think that Vardy's pretty bought in.
Yes. Okay, so someone we have on loan, Facundo Buonanotte from Brighton. They played a game in the rain against Fulham. And apparently, you wear different types of spikes when you're playing in the rain. You wear longer spikes because the ground's going to be softer, so you get more traction.
Okay.
And Ruud van Nistelrooy told Buonanotte that. Buonanotte did not wear the longer spikes. He preferred to wear his normal spikes, and he had a shit-ass game. So, you know, in the locker room post-game, van Nistelrooy is essentially telling Buonanotte that, like, he told him that, and... You know, he's challenging the Leicester locker room right now, which is what they need. We are just at battle with PSR, which is just comical, seeing as how we fucking, you know, we sell off so many of our good players. We don't, it's just tough.
For what, too? Because Dewsbury Hall's been...
Yeah, he doesn't even fucking play at Chelsea. Yeah. One of my favorite players of all time. Do I think we're going to stay up?
I think it's possible. It's either you or
Ipswich. It's certainly possible. We're fighting for our season right here tomorrow at Everton. Everton sitting at 23. We're at 17.
They just brought in David Moyes, who I think was the best hire a relegation team could get right now. We've seen Moyes turn around similar clubs like West Ham. West Ham used to be kind of in the mud. And then he made the middling, and then he got them a European trophy. If I'm a certain Brandon Stevenson, I'm pretty happy about that right now.
Uh-huh. And I even challenged Brandon. I was like, after they signed Moyes, I was like, cool, now they just got to get a guy who can score goals. And Brandon was like telling me how he thought Dom would start scoring goals because they have a different coach. And I was like, I guess we'll see. And, you know, I think Dom returned twice in three games under Moyes. So, but Dom's hurt this weekend.
Yep.
That is the story of Dom. Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
Everton are probably safe, but a loss to Leicester this weekend makes you feel a lot less good about yourself. Where currently you're six above relegation. If we win, we're at 20. They're at 23. We're just dragging them back down into it.
Is there a world where Tottenham gets relegated?
I don't think so. You would have to be really bad.
We'll see. I would love that, though.
Leicester have four wins. Wolves have four wins. Ipswich have three wins. It's going to be pretty tough.
Ipswich versus Southampton this weekend as well.
Yeah, big game there. Probably want Southampton to win that if I'm thinking about it.
In my Pick'em League, I need a Southampton win because you have to pick at least each team at least once. So this, I felt, was the closest win because I'm picking Leicester versus Southampton a while later. So I feel like I needed...
Yeah,
that's how that's going to pan out.
We lose our best winger, Fatawu, to a torn ACL that he tears on international duty in Ghana. That's just like
tragic.
The hardest thing ever to cope with. We haven't had a right back this whole season because James Justin absolutely blows. We bring in a right back in the winter transfer window to hopefully give him some competition. He plays really well against Tottenham. Crazy how that works.
Yeah.
I hope we don't get relegated. Or, you know what? I hope if we get relegated, I hope we just win the championship again.
All right.
Would you rather win the championship and then go to the Prem and get sent back down, or just be 15th every year in the Prem?
Be 15th every year in the Prem.
Okay, interesting. Me too.
I'm so fucking sick of... I want stability in my life. I'm not getting it from Watford.
You root for the wrong club then, brother.
Yeah, I know.
Watford in 15th in the table now. No, I'm looking at the wrong table. Sorry.
Yeah.
Scared you there for a second.
No, I knew that wasn't true. I think they're at 9th.
Watford are currently in 9th in the championship with 41 points, 3 points out of the playoff.
Yeah.
Pretty good season from your fellas for a pretty talent-deprived squad, TBH.
Very talent-deprived squad. We've had like 2 or 3 losses in a row, but I still completely back our current manager, Tom Cleverley.
He's had a very good season.
Once of Fergie Man United fame.
He is absolutely working against the club too, like the leaders of the club.
Yeah, the Pazos are absolute. The Pazos are the levies of the championship, essentially. They're just a bunch of idiot Italian billionaires. I am really worried that they are going to be dumb. They're going to get rid of Cleverley, who has currently the support of the fans, the support of the squad, the support of the dressing room, all the backhouse people. They're going to get rid of him. It's going to be even worse than Rob Edwards. It's going to be even worse than that. He's going to be a great manager, an absolute great manager somewhere. It probably, and I hate to say it, it probably won't be at Watford.
It'll be a club that nurtures and supports him.
Fuck.
Which is not Watford.
All right. I feel like those are the only teams that I really want to talk about. Let's talk about our ranking of transfers. Mbappe to Real Madrid. Should not have been the zero pick. Looking back.
In theory it was. How it's played out, probably not. It's just a big issue.
And we did mention how you slot in everyone into that squad.
Yes.
And it just has not worked.
Well, Vinny and Mbappe are very lazy and do not like to track back.
This is true.
That has fucked up their team hard. They're also injured to shit in defense.
Yeah.
But the Real Madrid, we're not cutting these guys any slack.
No. No, you're not. Let's just keep on rolling down the list. Julian Alvarez to Atletico Madrid.
Let's just hit him and Robin Lenormand, the two transfers to Atletico we had on the list.
Yep.
In theory, two pretty big dubs for them. I think Julian Alvarez is their third highest scorer this year with 7 goals.
Robin Lenormand, unfortunately, has only played 12 matches in La Liga this year due to injuries, which is kind of disappointing, but
Atletico second in the table.
Yep.
49 points, I believe.
Yep.
Pretty good season for them so far.
Mm-hmm. Currently, Alvarez has six goals in the Champions League and six goals in La Liga. He's looking pretty good. Atletico are also looking pretty good. Those were good calls. Up next, we have Ian Mattson to Aston Villa. I thought this guy would completely replace Luka Digne.
Champions League All-Star Ian Mattson is.
This is true. Champions League All-Star. He's played seven matches in the Champions League. He's been a sub in most of the Premier League games. He's been pretty decent. Just not...
Luka Digne's just been playing well, honestly.
Luka Digne has also went through a little bit of a renaissance. I thought he was getting old.
I thought he was completely cooked.
I thought he was washed. Yeah, kind of. There was Chris Wood, Luka Digne, renaissance. Good on you, lad. Good stuff. Up next, we've got João Polinha to Bayern Munich. We're just kind of screwing people over. He's only played 9 matches in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, he has not had the impact I thought he would have for Bayern. Bayern's still at the top of the Bundesliga with 48 points. Leverkusen in second with 42. This Bayern team's just really good.
Yep.
But João Polinha has not had the impact I thought he would have for this Bayern team.
Up next, Igor Thiago, who is currently at Brentford. We screwed him over. He's only played 4 matches.
We have evil energy.
Buddy got injured. Sorry. Sorry, Igor. I believed in you. I want to say I had him, Jankuba Minte, and Ian Mattson in my starting FPL lineup and then had to get rid of all of them within, like, the span of the first week. It was not pretty. Not pretty. Up next, we had João Neves to Paris Saint-Germain.
Now, this guy has actually worked out for PSG. Woo-wee! PSG at the top of the league. Yep. No surprise. 10 points clear of second.
CDM, 2 goals, 7 assists in league, and then a goal and an assist in 8 matches. Played every single match for the Champions League. Very good. He's 20 years old. He's looking pretty good.
Pretty good for Bayern.
Yep.
Or for PSG. So.
Up next, Jankuba Minte to Brighton. He started a couple games.
He looked good in those 2 games.
He's not bad. He's been pretty decent. He's also really young, also 20 years old. Played 18 matches in the Premier League. A lot of those have been substitutions, gotten 3 goals and 3 assists. He just needs a couple more years in the Prem. I still believe in Jankuba. I just think that he's a little young. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, Brighton will still probably sell that guy for 3 times profit what they bought him for.
Yep, absolutely. Up next, we have Douglas Luiz to Juventus.
Bad, bad pick. Yep. He is low-key, like, out of favor at Juve. They're actively shopping him as we speak. You know, he could make a return to a guy who was, like, a top, probably would have been in the Prem. Maybe had been in the Prem, like, team of the season last year.
Mm-hmm.
Has a pretty tough time fitting into that Juve team. Obviously, Italian football is quite a bit different than Prem football. Much more physical, I would say.
Yeah.
But I could see he maybe has a potential to come back to the Prem to a Man City or a Chelsea. But bad signing for Juve.
Artem Dovbyk.
Great signing for Roma. Roma had a pretty bad start to the season, Ryan. They get Claudio Ranieri,
mm-hmm.
former Leicester manager, former Prem League winner.
Yep.
And he's kind of had
former
Roma.
Watford manager.
He's had Roma on a very good turnaround.
8 goals, 2 assists in Serie A, 2 goals in Europa League.
I think they've won 8 out of their last 15 he's managed for them.
He's Dovbyk. He's hitting his prime. He's 27 years old right now. Looking pretty solid.
Great.
And then lastly, we'll skip Le Normand because we already went over him. Michael Olise. Decent. Yeah, that's all I have to say. 6 goals, 6 assists in Bundesliga. 6 assists is pretty good. I'll give him that.
I'd have 6 assists if I was kicking it to Harry Kane, bro.
That's fair. 4 goals and an assist in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, just some adjustment for him. You know, he goes from being the biggest fish in the pond to just being another fish in the pond.
Yeah.
So you got to assume there's a little bit of an adjustment period there for him.
Yeah.
Just sad to lose an English top English talent to a different
league. I like seeing English players go.
It is cool to see English players dominating the other leagues.
Kind of like, I also like seeing American players in interesting leagues and doing well over there. Pulisic has been doing pretty well over in AC Milan.
But Milan has not been having the season that they would want to be having.
No, they have not. What else did we want to talk about as far as soccer is concerned? Do we want to talk about Man City versus Real Madrid really quick?
I don't even care, honestly. Like, they're both in such dog form.
Yeah, but that's what kind of makes it fun. Who do you want to see win? I want to see whoever is least most likely to lose next, because I don't like either team.
Trying to think who has... So, my favorite player at City is De Bruyne.
Who has not been looking that great.
My favorite player at Real Madrid is Valverde.
Who's been pretty decent.
And I like De Bruyne more than Valverde. So I guess I want City to win.
I want Real Madrid to win because then I will feel more safe in bringing in Haaland for my FPL team. Because
that's fair.
Yeah. That's
it just
my
feels
there.
Like City's not leaving this season with no trophies.
Yeah, they'll pick up an FA Cup or some bullcrap like that.
Or Champions League.
Ugh.
With their hardest path yet.
With their hardest path. This is actually their hardest path. This is true. We're coming up in an hour. Let's quickly talk
Pep's
movies.
Pep's wife left him. Pep got a
I did see that. Yeah.
Because...
Pep's too into the game.
For the love of the game, this man divorced his wife. I think he told her that he would stop, and then he signed a new contract with City, and she went, "So you chose the game over me?" And he
was
went,
like, "Yes, I love the game. I love the game. I must prove to them I am not a bald fraud."
Messy merchant.
Oh, jeez. All right. Recent movies we've both seen. Let's talk about a certain Bob Dylan flick.
A complete unknown.
You know, it's...
Pretty decent flicky.
5 out of 7. There. I've recently downloaded Letterboxd, so in, like, my review, I always put down the RTU score just so I remember that as well. Yeah, good flick. Chalamet always does a great job.
He was awesome in that movie. I didn't really even know much about Bob Dylan, honestly. But
yeah.
I'm such a Timmy Chalamet stan.
And it's just about that period of his life where he's kind of coming to fame with the rise and fall of folk music at that point in time. And I think that's a really interesting snapshot into Bob Dylan's history.
Bob, please don't plug in the guitar.
I'm
plugging in the guitar.
I'm going to plug it in.
Honestly, they stopped the movie right at the good part. The ending shot of that movie is him riding away from the hospital after visiting that one guy.
That one guy? You mean Woody Guthrie?
Woody Guthrie?
Oh my gosh. I want to end it now.
I think that happens in 1966, that same year he gets in a motorcycle crash that essentially stops him from touring for a long time. Johnny Cash. All the scenes with Johnny Cash in that movie were
absolutely hilarious.
Funny.
Absolutely hilarious.
The girl musician, Joan something. Mm. I really liked her too.
Yeah.
The girl who played her was really good.
She was also in Top Gun Maverick.
That was the first movie I'd seen in a while, too.
Yeah.
Good flicky. 5 out of 7. How do we feel about biopics in general?
I feel like that's one of the better musical biopics. I will put that at my number 2 musical biopic.
What's
behind...
Queen?
No.
John Ellen?
N.W.A.
Oh, okay. That was really
straight
good.
Out of Compton, baby.
Did you see the one about Robbie Williams, who's like a UK superstar, but
yes.
They CGI'd his character as a monkey?
I haven't seen that yet. I need to check it out. Apparently, it's gotten good reviews, but no one's watched it because...
People were so mad that no one in America knew who Robbie Williams was.
Yeah, because we have no idea who the heck this guy is. So I'll check it out.
Budget for that movie was like 100-something million.
Because they made him a monkey the entire
film. And I think
film.
It made like 30-something million.
He's the only monkey in the film, too. Whoopie doo.
Brits were so mad at Americans.
I'm the king of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP.
I need to see more movies. I need to see Nosferatu.
I'll be honest, so do I. I've not seen it yet.
I've been lacking in movies, honestly.
We need to have Eli on the pod. He's seen a bunch of them.
I know, man's watching like 2 movies a week.
Sheesh. But yeah.
Oh, I did watch Carry On with Egerton and Jason Bateman. That movie was bad. That movie was TSA propaganda.
No.
Don't watch it.
Okay, gotcha.
I've been rewatching Hunter Hunter.
Yeah. Maddie will be so happy to hear that. That's Maddie's favorite.
I texted Rooks that, and I watched it in high school.
Really?
And I'm rewatching it now. It's probably the best shonen.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
It's probably a top three anime of all time for me upon rewatch.
Maddie, who knows more about anime than any other person I know, thinks it as the best shonen.
It's so good. It is so good.
Any closing thoughts as we close in on an hour?
Not much. I hope this episode gets put out.
I think I will actually release the what's called pod? The IU.
No, don't. We shouldn't pod. Put that out. We have the GOAT draft. You just insert the GOAT draft segment into a different.
That's a good point.
Because the GOAT draft part was good.
That was true.
But the IU Purdue part, or the IU football part's just like outdated now.
That's fine.
But the GOAT draft was fire.
It was fire.
And the people are clamoring to find out who our GOATs are.
That's true.
And I put an animated character on the list.
And I put a, I think I put a gin rummy player on the list as well. Oh, jeez. All right. Thanks again, guys. Reach out to us on our socials, Ryan Reviews the Universe on Instagram. Message me on there if you've got any questions, comments, insults. Always a pleasure. Peace out. Much love.